Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's episode, Rachel Balcevic had her introductory press conference yesterday, although it was a conference call because we can't do press conferences anymore with COVID going around. And she spoke to the media about the road leading to her historic hire, talking about what she plans to do, and lots of other good stuff. And Abby and I will be talking about the significance of Rachel getting this job and more next on Locked On Yankees.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, January 13th. It's sometimes it feels like the month's going slow, and then you look at the date and you're thinking, wow, we're already almost halfway through the month, and soon spring training will start. Ha,
just
kidding.
Will it though?
No, I know. Today's the day though, right? Aren't they meeting today?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting my dates mixed up, but also I've got other work. You're reminding me that I'm halfway through the month, and I was like really far ahead on a story that I'm working on for the end of the month. I can't give anything away. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not as far ahead as I thought I was because it's the 13th and I have to get this done by the 25th, I think. So great.
Yeah. If I had a deadline like that, I would wait until the 24th because I'm that kind of a procrastinator. So before we get into everything, you can find me on Twitter at StaceGots, StaceGots. You can find Abby by her whole name, because she's daring like that to put her whole name on Twitter. Abby, A-B-B-E-Y, like Abbey Road, M-A-S-T-R-A-C-C-O. And before we get into it, you can listen to us on Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch us on YouTube. We passed 700 subscribers last night.
Subscribers last night.
And if you have a smart device, tell it to play Locked On Yankees.
Thank you.
So I've been jazzed about this hire since it happened because it's such a big deal for baseball and for women and non-men, and the Yankees are the ones who did it, which is, you don't really think of the Yankees as being progressive, but as Kevin Reese said, they were looking for the right person to put in this job, and they believe that they found the right person to put into this job. And if you look at Rachel's credentials and not at her gender, she is the right person for this job. She has just enough experience to do it.
This is something I interviewed Rachel last year for a story that I did for Bleacher Report, and we can link the story later on because it's basically on women in various roles in baseball, in the front office, as an agent, and then on the field. Rachel was the one that I interviewed for the on the field portion of that story. And the one thing she emphasized to me quite a bit was, my resume is stacked, not for a woman, but for anybody in baseball. My resume is absolutely stacked. And it is. She was a college catcher. And then she interned for, I think, Arizona Fall League, some minor league teams. She was a strength and conditioning coach at LSU. She went to the Netherlands to do a grad program on biomechanics. And a lot of that was about the science of eye tracking, which then after doing this interview, I found eye tracking so fascinating. I went down like a Google rabbit hole on the whole science of it and what it has to do with both of the sports that I cover, hockey and baseball. It's really fascinating science. And she has really big aspirations, but not just big aspirations in baseball. She's got big ideas. It's not just for her. It's not just what she has. Like, look, she'll say, I want to be the first female general manager, or I just want to be a general manager, right. Whether I'm the first or not, she wants to be a GM, but she has so many ideas, and she actually has ideas on how to execute these things to make baseball a better, more marketable, more tolerant, more inclusive sport, and also like just a better product on the field. She is so smart and interesting. But she's also really, really driven. Like, she makes me feel like lazy.
I know. I was reading all the stuff that she's done and, you know, teaching herself Spanish. And it's not mm-hmm. easy to teach yourself Spanish once you pass a certain age, because they always say that when you learn a second language, it's always better to do it as a kid because your brain is like a sponge. And if you start to do stuff like that, you can do it. It's not like you can't learn a second language when you're older. It's just a little more difficult because you're so used to speaking your own language. I wouldn't even attempt it now, but she taught herself.
I've been
herself.
Attempting to learn Spanish, but I've always had like sort of a base level knowledge of like being able to understand it because I grew up spending a month every summer in Mexico. It was my grandparents' beach house. Look, it was like a neighborhood with vacation homes, but my family always stressed that when you're in somebody else's country, you should learn to speak their language and learn things that are important to that country and that culture. You don't just go there and demand that everybody cater to you. You're in their country. You're in their home. So, plus my college boyfriend's grandmother yelled at me in Spanish a couple times.
Yeah, my papu was teaching me Greek before he passed away, and I was only 5, so I wasn't going to say, please keep, you know, daddy, can you keep teaching me Greek? You know, because I, even at 5 years old, I felt embarrassed to speak another language because it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth, and I was very self-conscious about it, which is kind of why when I took Spanish all throughout middle school and high school and, you know, did okay, but I didn't really have that much left of it. I understand some stuff, but not really. My mom's fluent in Spanish because she took it for so many years and taught kids who were Hispanic, and she knows different dialects too, and she can understand certain things that they say.
Dialects are tough because I grew up in California where everybody speaks sort of a Mexican, not sort of, they speak a Mexican dialect and is much different than Dominican or Caribbean Spanish. And I was talking to Melissa, who used to work for the Mets. Now she's with the Nationals. She works in PR. She has done a lot of interpreting for some of the national teams. She was telling me that like the dialects are the difference between like hearing like British English and not being able to quite understand their accent or their like colloquialisms.
Yeah.
Mexican Spanish is different than Caribbean, than Venezuelan, than Puerto Rican, than and even Spanish in Spain is almost more of an Italian French,
right?
Spanish,
right?
It's so trying to learn Spanish. Rachel went to the Dominican academies. Rachel, I brought up the interview that I did with her last year, and part of what got her interested in player development, because that's sort of a specific emphasis for her is player development, is that she went to some of these Dominican academies and saw their living conditions and thought, wow, these guys are getting paid by major league teams and they're sleeping 50 guys to one room. That's insane and that's inhumane and that shouldn't happen. So she's got all sorts of ideas on building academies in the Dominican for women, building academies in the Dominican and how to run them differently than sort of how some of the major league teams are running them right now. She was sort of, she's not the first person, but she's sort of the person who explained it to me, the contracting of the minor leagues. Teams got rid of several minor league team affiliates in the last couple of years. There are a lot of people who say that that's bad for baseball. Rachel is of the mind that that is good for baseball because it will strengthen the talent pool and it will allow teams to better allocate resources, have every team, you know, paid their minor leaguers better because there's fewer affiliates now. No, that's not necessarily the case, but over time, that is the hope. And it's going to allow player development coaches to spend more one-on-one time with players because there are few of them. She looks at player development in like at like the macro and the micro level. And it's just amazing the way that she's able to see these sort of systems and not just say, not just like have an understanding and like, but see how she wants to change them, but also then like immediately have a plan to try and change them. And she's bold enough to go after to try and change it too. She's a woman trying to change baseball, you know? It takes an extra thick skin to be able to do that. And, you know, we're seeing all over Twitter, people are saying, you know, this isn't good for baseball. This is bad for the Yankees. How would she know anything about what it's like to be in a dugout? And then of course, then there are the people who are saying, oh, she needs to get in the kitchen and be a wife and a mother. And which, you know, obviously frustrates the two of us to no end, as well as a lot of people in baseball as well. I mean, spend 10 minutes talking to Zach Britton and like, he's not going to say that women belong in the kitchen.
Right.
Sorry to all those men listening who, well, look, let's be honest. There's probably not a lot of men listening to us that have that mindset. But for those
That's
that
true.
Do,
That's
some
true.
Of your players, some of your favorite players actually like us in the dugout or in various roles in baseball. So Rachel is a pioneer, but she's such a bold thinker, and she doesn't just think about these things and think it would be nice if baseball implemented these things. She looks at it and says, it would be nice if baseball implemented these things, and here's how I'm going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
If nobody else is going to change baseball, I'm going to do it on my own.
Yeah.
That's what she says. That's how she thinks.
I was saying the other day how I was looking at her Instagram and looking at her pictures because, you know, she was a strength training coach. She works out a lot. She looks amazing. And I was joking about how I've been trying to get in shape myself. So far, I just do spin classes, some bar and Pilates. I haven't gotten into the strength training yet, but I'm planning on it. And in order to help me do that,
you're going to eat Built Bar.
I'm going to eat more Built Bars than ever. It's the new year. We're still, I mean, hey, it's only the 13th day of the year, so it's possible you haven't screwed up your resolutions yet. And if yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure Built Bar is in your plan. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good and you'll want to eat it. Seriously. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill. You want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring that by week three, which we're almost in, it's just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. Most of them contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Candy bar can be 240 calories, and this always gets me, 30 grams of sugar. That is too much even for me. So if you're into wanting to eat healthy and wanting to try Built Bar, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, as I always say, mint brownie is awesome, but peanut butter brownie is good, coconut almond is good, and you know what? Raspberry is good. And Sully will be happy that I said that because that's his favorite flavor. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. So what else can you tell us about Rachel and her ideas? I love this, though. I love that she's that bold. I wish I could be that bold in my life. We talked about it with Brian Oak yesterday about how I'm always afraid to ask people to do things for me. And, you know, I wish I had that kind of attitude where I could say, I have this idea and this is how we're going to do it, or this is how it should be done. And with regards to anything, that'd be great. But I love that about her. She's so bold and awesome. And as you were saying before, you know, there are a lot of people who were being dinks about this, honestly,
yeah,
for lack of a better word. But there are a lot of there are a lot of people being supportive of this. You know, there are there's a large group of men who were like, yes, it's about time that this happened. And, you know, the teams hire other guys that have never played baseball in certain positions within the hierarchy of the team. So why not give a woman a chance? And like we said earlier, her resume speaks for itself. And if she weren't a woman, no one would question it at all.
So she has ideas beyond the field for marketability. And some of these ideas, like she's talked about, she was talking about TikTok. Like she wants to have rappers like DaBaby announcing games. She said, we need to have more of like a halftime show instead of just playing take me out to the ball game for the millionth time. She she has some interesting ideas that wouldn't go over well with
all the old farts who are still in charge of baseball.
Yes, but like as we talked about with Brian Hoke yesterday, every sport, every team needs to be continually trying to find ways to engage new fans. There was also an article that I read in the New York Times yesterday that said Gen Z is not watching sports the way that millennials, Gen X, and the boomers watch sports. They are less likely to sit down and watch an entire game. They're less likely to engage with people who are talking about baseball on Twitter. Twitter's not even like Gen Z's preferred platform, you know? So she wants to find ways to continually reach a younger audience. And that's in doing things like utilizing TikTok and changing the way that the broadcasts. She wants, she basically sort of like wants to disrupt. That's the word she used, was disrupt baseball. I'm on board with some of it.
Honestly, it needs to be disrupted a bit. It needs to be changed. We're in 2022 now. It's not 1992. And God, that's so long ago. But it's true. Things aren't the same. There's so many different channels for people to be distracted by, so many different sports that are on TV at the same time to be distracted by. And I like the idea of disrupting baseball. And I like that she has ideas to do that. And TikTok, yeah. I mean, Gen Z. I mean, I love TikTok and I'm a Gen Xer, but I love some of these kids. And oh, God, I sound so old saying that, but it's true, because they're all 20 something years younger than me. They're so creative. And some of the stuff that they do is so funny. And if there's a way that you could do something with baseball and TikTok, that would definitely bring more people into it somehow. But yes. So
one of the things that she talked about with me was how there's such a big disconnect. Baseball has trouble getting fans. Your stars are probably not always like your homegrown cornerstones of the organization. Like what happened, the NBA, NFL, and even hockey to a lesser extent, because the first like 10 picks have a chance to play in the NFL or in the NHL within their first season or two seasons coming out of their draft year. But in baseball, you draft a guy, you don't see him for a couple of years. You don't really even hear about him for a couple of years because he's playing at the lower levels. She wants to change that by creating a reality show or reality shows, sort of like Hard Knocks, that would stream on all of the different team websites. So like Hoke works for Yankees.com. Maybe it's Major League Baseball Advanced Media that gets involved in this. Maybe it's individual teams hiring their own production crews, which is sort of what the NHL does.
Had that homegrown show that showed some of the minor league kids that was pretty good. And I don't know if it's continued, but something like that would be good. Because she wants, as you to do said, that a lot of people don't see them.
She wants to have that for every single team. And so that fans are able to get a glimpse of who the future is, hanging out in the weight room, cracking jokes, in the cages, working on their swing, or, you know, in the bullpen, in the meeting rooms. If you've seen Hard Knocks, you sort of know. But then you can also get hooked on their individual storylines, on their on their personalities. And you're continually seeing them grow before they hit the major league, so that by the time they're in the major leagues, you're already a fan of this person. You want to, and then you tune in to watch that Yankees game because, you know, Joe Smith down in the minor leagues, you've been watching him and he plays really funny pranks on his teammates, but he's also been really candid about struggling with his slider. So then by the time he gets pulled up to the major leagues, you're like, wow, I really like this guy. He's okay. Obviously his slider's back on track. Let's see if he can throw it in the major leagues. And you're already a fan. You're already hooked.
Yeah.
That was a really good idea, I thought. I don't know how well some of these other things, I know how well some of these other things are going to go, like TikTok and having rappers announce games are going to go over with some of the older people still in baseball. But at the same time, some of those people are going to start to retire and people like Rachel are going to be in charge.
Right.
The structure that some teams have, they have like a team president that's sort of on the business side. And then they have your general manager, baseball operations side. But some teams do have one figurehead who oversees all of that. Sandy Alderson with the Mets right now, kind of overseeing all of that. So if Rachel gets put into a position where she has the influence and the budgets to work with, to be a figurehead or an executive for one team, she could really start to implement some of these things and really start to create some trends in the industry and some really positive trends, because baseball is at a really strange point right now. It's in danger of becoming a niche sport. The lockout's not helping. If the season gets shortened, that's really going to damage the brand. So,
yeah, because that's two out of three seasons. The past three seasons being shortened. I mean, you couldn't help it with COVID, but still, that's not great.
And just the optics of the two parties arguing isn't great. We've talked about that before. Baseball is at a really bad, it's in a really precarious place right now. And she wants to make it, she wants to take ideas from the NBA and the NFL in terms of the entertainment value of games and implement that in baseball and the marketability. And baseball doesn't know how to market its stars. If you're creating a reality show and you're letting these kids just be themselves from a really young age, when they're an 18-year-old, you know, working in the cages, then yeah, you might find that you can market the stars' personalities a little bit better if you actually let them have a personality. Baseball has not been historically been good at marketing personalities. I don't know how do I keep ending up in these sports? Hockey isn't either. And I've had talks with people in the NHL about how to better market some of the personalities. And it just comes from the top. They don't want to market the personalities. They want it. Baseball and hockey both have this philosophy of this is a team sport. You play for the name on the front instead of the back. But it's a younger generation who wants to see more fun. They want to see more individual personality, like traits. And, you know, you're more likely to become a fan of somebody if you can relate to them, right? So you've got, how are we going to bridge the gap between, you know, kids who grew up here in, I don't know, let's say Montclair, New Jersey, to kids who are coming up through the minor leagues who are from tiny towns somewhere in the Dominican, you know? How are we going to bridge the gap between them? How are we going to have them latch on to these guys and become fans of these guys before they even get to the major leagues? Because right now, when these guys get to the major leagues, you know a little bit about them. There's some prospect reports, but like what fans tend to do is they tend to think, show me what you have.
Right.
Or they think this guy is the savior of the organization already. And when he strikes out in his first at bat, you're like, oh God, he's a bust already. How are we going to bridge that gap and get a, you know, senior in high school in Montclair, New Jersey, to relate to a kid who's about 18 years old in the Dominican coming up through the Yankee system right now? Well, maybe they have something in common. Maybe they have video games in common, or maybe they both just have sort of similar snarky senses of humor. And if you showcase that and you put that on display, you're more likely to grab some new fans.
Yeah. I don't even know how to do this right now.
I'm betting on Rachel to disrupt baseball.
Thank you. That was perfect. BetOnline would like to wish you all a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the football playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports, best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year and there's a new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. I was going to ask you, were saying about Rachel's aspirations about, you know, being more in the front office, but if she's successful as a manager and she keeps moving up, do you think that that would change for her? Like, can you even answer that? Or do you think?
I mean, you'd have to ask her.
Right.
She was very adamant when I talked to her, because I asked, I was like, you have so much experience in so many different, like, levels of baseball and so many different, you've had your hands in so many different like areas of baseball. You know, has anybody ever told you to pick a lane? And
right.
She said, well, general managers generally have scouting backgrounds, right? So if I can work in player development, which is the area she's the most passionate in, then she can go from being a manager and being in the dugout to being in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
She's made it very clear that she wants to be a general manager. Now she is a manager of a single A team. I think someday she's going to be a manager for a big league team. I don't know how quick. I don't know how. I don't know. Baseball's not ready for that right now.
No,
they're not. Baseball is just, as a sport, is absolutely not ready for that right now. If baseball was ready for something like that right now, then we would have more women executives in higher roles than just Raquel Ferreira in Boston, or Kim Ng wouldn't be the only GM, the only woman GM. Baseball is not ready for a manager in the dugout right now. However, in a couple years, when some of these other older guys start to retire,
yeah,
maybe. Because if some of the players playing right now start to move into baseball roles, they are more accepting of those kinds of things. They are more accepting of women in certain roles. They're going to be open. Eventually, some of these guys are going to start to leave the game. There's always going to be some resistance, always
Sure.
going to be some resistance. But we've got a lot of women in powerful roles right now. I mean, Rachel's managing on the fields. She is day to day making all of the in-game decisions, filling out the lineup card. We have Sarah Goodrum, who is working in player development for the Astros, and she was the director of hitting for the Brewers. Bianca in Boston. There's going to be more women who start to fill these roles. And the more women we have, the better, because they're just eventually going to be looked at as, oh, she's not like a female hitting coach. She's just a hitting coach. And eventually Rachel is going to be She's going to be a manager in the big leagues. I mean, we know she's not going to be the first female GM. I think that was her aspiration before Kim Ng. She's going to be the first something, though. She's going to be the first person to like really shake up baseball in some way. And I don't know which way that is
Well,
yet.
she could be the first female to be a manager and then a general manager.
She could, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the reason I did this story last year on women showcasing women in various roles of baseball, it was after Kim Ng had gotten hired with the Marlins. And, it became pretty obvious to me just looking at Twitter and talking to baseball fans, they didn't know that there were women working in a lot of these positions. So I went out there to try and find some. And I talked to a software developer in Kansas City who was developing the draft software for the Royals. Or the process on how they keep track of all of their scouting stuff. So I wanted to show like various roles, not just the super visible Kim Ings of the world. And I think she's a role model to all of us, but I think Rachel, the way Rachel talked about it yesterday, I want to be visible. I want to be a role model to women, of course. She's going to be something really special and something really different that the industry hasn't seen.
Yeah. And I liked how she was talking about supporting the guys on the team, getting to know everything about them, making sure that they're all okay, and being that support system for them. Again, that goes back to her learning Spanish so she can better communicate with some of these kids who are coming up from the Dominican. So that's cool to see. That's not to say that other managers don't do that, but it's nice to hear someone actually come out and say, "This is what I'm going to do. This is my goal, and this is how we're going to get things done."
It really, she's a different person. She's her own person. I wish I could have even half the confidence that she has.
I'd like to have a quarter of it.
The one thing I learned talking to all these women last year, they are all so different. Because I initially s set out in that story to my goal was to find a common theme between all of them, or a thread between all of these women that I was interviewing. I didn't find one. They're all so different, and they have their own ways of looking at baseball and their own perspectives. And that's what makes women in sports so great, because we do bring a different perspective than men do, because a lot of us have not been, I didn't play junior hockey in Canada. I didn't play college baseball. I was around a very successful college baseball program, but I haven't just been in this mindset where I'm getting the same thing told to me by coaches, where it's like almost like a team group think mindset. I come in and I ask different questions based on what I see from the outside looking in. And women are often told, like, we have, at least this is what I've been told by players, and it's a good thing. We tend to be a little bit more sensitive and compassionate sometimes in our dealings with people. There are, and I've seen it, post game, you see a guy who just has an absolutely awful game, a goalie who gave up 7 goals, and there's a guy who comes in and says, "Why couldn't you stop the puck tonight?" Just sort of flippantly. And you don't know what that goalie is feeling. He obviously feels awful. He let his
Right.
team down. He couldn't stop the puck. That's your one job in hockey, is to stop the puck. He feels awful. And you see these guys going up and just,
Adding to
why couldn't you
their
stop the
awful
puck?
feeling.
Whereas I've been told that like your tone of voice changes when you know that somebody's had a bad night. I've seen other women who they do sort of like, I've been in scrums where like the coach or a player is absolutely just screaming at another reporter, like, how dare you ask that question? You're not in here. You don't know what we're going through. And then a woman asks a question and his tone totally changes and he's like calmer and he's more relaxed. And all of a sudden he's like, then he's just like, he's like, you can tell he's hurt. He's like, it's just a totally different like demeanor, a totally different way of answering the question that when a woman asks it sometimes. And that can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing, but it's a different thing.
Right.
And different's not bad.
Right.
We need diversity in thought, diversity in gender, diversity in ethnicity, diversity in languages in sports, because ultimately we have so many different people from so many different countries and so many different personalities and backgrounds coming together to play this one sport. So yeah, we should be looking to fill these important roles with women, with minorities, maybe with people who didn't ever play baseball but have a different way of looking at it. And yeah. That doesn't mean that method can't be successful.
Right. I just find it interesting. I like the whole going back to Rachel's wanting to change everything, because baseball does need to be changed. It really does badly. The marketing of people. And you were talking about earlier about how it's kind of funny with baseball because everyone's like, it's a team sport. You shouldn't be showboating, but you're doing things individually.
It's an individual sport.
Yeah, you're up at the plate.
As a team sport.
Yeah, like you're up at the plate taking it at bat. You mm-hmm. hit a home run. And it always boggles my mind when people are upset that a guy is happy that he hit a home run. It's like, you want to hit a home run. That's one of the things that you're taught when you play baseball. Like a home run is a good thing. You're scoring runs. And, you know, I want more guys to be flamboyant and show their personalities. I think teams should allow guys. The Yankees should get rid of their facial hair policy. It's ridiculous already. That came up this week. They should allow guys.
It's going to keep coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like when guys have beards down to here and it looks like they can house, you know, bird's nests in them. But allow them to grow beards. Just not just the mustaches. They look like pedophiles, no offense, but you know, it's just not a good look. You know, guys should be able to wear, as long as they're not distracting, cleats that aren't just plain. Like they should be able to, not just on players weekend, they should be able to do stuff like that. And even going beyond that, why not make the jerseys more fun and make players weekend, like make it more than just the weekend and allow these guys to show their personalities with their funny nicknames on the back and doing stuff like that? Because you know, a lot of people were kind of pushing back against the Players Weekend when they first announced it was going to happen. And then after it did, they were like, wow, that was so much fun to watch. And it looked like the guys were having more fun and they should do it more often. And yeah, I think that stuff like that needs to happen.
Baseball needs to evolve despite the better efforts of people in the game to keep it from evolving.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. It's going to evolve a little bit, but it's got to change big time or it's in danger of being left behind as a niche sport, you know?
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, my brother umps and, you know, he's not now cause it's winter, but during the summer, he's constantly umpiring softball, baseball, every kind of thing. So kids are still playing it, but they have to bring the sport back to the inner cities. Because you're not seeing as many of those teams. Because it's also expensive to play baseball.
Very expensive.
You know, you have the traveling team. You have, like, kids are playing baseball nearly year-round in some cases because they have indoor facilities now here in New York that kids are doing.
And the indoor facilities are very expensive.
Yep.
That's why you see kids from California, Florida, Arizona, Texas, who are Georgia, who are they're playing outside all year round. They don't, you know, but there are still barriers to entry in all of those states. You know, I've attended some of the tournaments in Compton, some of the inner city leagues, the RBI program. Dom Smith has talked about bringing baseball to the inner cities and the challenges that baseball faces in the inner cities. It's I mean, look, sports shouldn't be an elitist thing to begin with, but that's a whole other podcast.
Right.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, we could
Sports should
get into
not be
that.
elitist.
Yeah. We could definitely get into that at another time because that's the.
Sports are supposed to be for everyone. You learn lessons in sports. You learn how to be a good teammate, good person. You learn foundations for like that you're gonna keep for the rest of your life. And even if you're not playing sports, you've got these like great memories watching with your parents or your grandparents or your friends. But baseball has to figure out how to grab those people because they're just not the what they've always relied on for years is parents passing down these like shared fandoms or shared things to their kids, and it's just not sticking the same anymore. And all those people who are playing Little League right now, not all of them are going to reach the major leagues. So how do you keep them as baseball fans? It's tough. There's a lot more that baseball could do, and there's a lot that baseball is ignoring. People like Rachel are great for the game, and we need more people like her who think like her. And even if some of these ideas are just completely off the wall, at least people are trying to think about how to improve it.
Right.
And that's where you got to start.
So the other day I had Lindsey Crosby, the newest host for Locked On MLB Prospects, and I asked you all to ask questions, and I'm asking you again, if you have any questions about Yankee prospects, tweet them at me, at StaceGotts, tweet them at the Locked On Yankees account, Locked On Yankees, all one word, because Lindsey would love to come back on, do a full crossover, and talk about as many Yankee prospects as possible. So please send in those questions, leave them in the comments down below on YouTube. Also, you can do that. And for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I am doing a bonus show tomorrow to make up for the fact that I couldn't do a show last Thursday because we had no heat in my house. So join me for that, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Thank you.